about.
Calling all stations. Clear the air lanes. Clear all air lanes for the big broadcast.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And I think you're right. I think, like, as, you know, a society in 2014, times have definitely changed for the better. But there's also some setbacks sometimes. And I think, you know, the more messages that can get out to kind of, you know, open people's eyes to what's right and what's wrong, I think you nailed that.
OMG, you are so boring. If you think about it, time isn't linear. Every moment that's ever happened or that will ever happen is happening right now. We just choose to live in this moment to create some illusion of continuity. So, really, we have already died, and we've also not yet been born.
And now, you're a girl, and girls are dumb. Our feature presentation.
I love it when Beer Mug starts pontificating about the world and life and the way things are.
I learn things.
I love that so much.
Yeah. He's got a lot of theories. Got a lot to share.
Sure does. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 11th of August.
How's everybody's weekend?
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
What'd you guys do?
Saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
Funny,
I enjoyed
right?
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Saw Eminem, Rihanna.
Oh, how was that?
It's a good
how
show. That? I love Eminem. Right. I like Rihanna. Mm-hmm. The Rose Bowl, not a great venue.
Yeah.
But
sound or just what? Too far away?
It's too hard to get in and out, but the sound was not bad considering some of the other shows I've seen there.
Oh, that's
wasn't
good.
Too bad.
That's good.
So it's fun to see him, though.
You had some questions about whether Rihanna was going to be worth showing up early for. Did you enjoy her show?
I did, yeah. It was sort of weird, though, because she does a lot of songs that you know. She's got a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's a pretty good performer. But what happens is they come out and they do like 5 songs together. And then he goes backstage and she takes over for, I don't know, an hour. Uh-huh. And you just go, okay, all right.
Well, a lot of people were there to see Rihanna, too.
I like her. Okay, now 35 minutes. Okay, 45 minutes.
You just wanted Eminem to come back out.
Yeah, exactly. And gotcha. It took a little while, but it was a good show.
Big week at the Rose Bowl to go right from Beyonce and Jay-Z into Eminem and Rihanna.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a lot of seats sold.
Pretty crazy.
Well, good times. Well, before we get started on today's excellent new Kevin and Bean Show, I don't know what I'm basing that on. Here's an interesting story. There is a radio show in your country, Kevin, Brazil, that is called The Time Is Now. It's on Radio Globo. And they specialize in finding long-lost relatives. You send them the information that you have, and they will try to track down a family member that you have been separated from or have never known or have missed. And they reunite these people on the radio. Very popular show in Brazil.
They do the search on the
yes,
radio?
Yes, they do the search, and they hook you up with the person. So you send them all the information. Hey, I'm looking for my dad or whatever it is. Well, in this case, it was a mom. Adriana, 39 years old, had not seen her mother Maria since she was 1 year old, and she had been looking for her. She'd gone on to have a life with step-parents, obviously, and she got married and had a bunch of kids and stuff, then had moved away from Sao Paulo and then returned and has been married now for 7 years with a 6-year-old daughter with her second husband. So it had always troubled her that she didn't know her mother, so she contacts the radio show, and they find Maria. And she is reunited with Maria on the radio, and they are catching up like you do with so much time passed.
Sure.
And sharing information about their lives. Maria says, yeah, so I've been married for 7 years to Leandro, my husband. We have a 6-year-old daughter. And her mother, Maria, says, well, that's interesting because I abandoned another child before you who was a son named Leandro.
What?
And you can see where this
what?
Is headed.
What? What?
That Adriana and Leandro are, in fact, brother and sister.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Well, they have separate fathers. They're step-brother and sister, I guess. They share the same mother. Leandro had not contacted the radio show, but Adriana knew this, had also been abandoned as a child by a mother named Maria, which neither one of them gave any thought to because Maria is a very common name around the world, especially in Brazil.
Man, that changes everything.
It kind of does. It kind of does. So she says, now I'm scared to go home and find out that Leandro doesn't want me anymore. I love him so much. However, Leandro says he is committed to the relationship. At first, we were really knocked out by it all, but we had a family meeting and we've decided that we are going to stay husband and wife, regardless of what anyone else may think. We thought it was funny that both of our mothers had the same name, but it's a common name, so we just thought it was a coincidence. Of course, it all would have been different if we had known this before, but we didn't, and we fell in love. We have so many plans together. Nothing is going to break us up. Only death will separate us. All this happened because God wanted it to happen. So they didn't know. It's not like they grew up together or anything like
right.
that. They're 7 years apart, never knew each other their whole lives until they reunited, you know, as adults.
It still matters, though, right? I mean, they are brother and sister.
They are brother and sister.
I mean, that's a thing.
Halfies, but yeah. What's the mom like just abandoning children left and right? What the hell is that about?
Well, here's the last line of this particular version of the article, like ChristianToday.com. The couple reported that they harbor no ill feelings toward their mother and remain in contact with her.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Lisa. I mean, I can understand the circumstances of giving up a kid. It's hard to understand the circumstances of giving up another one 7 years later. It seems like sometime in that 7 years you might have gotten your life together
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
if I'm the kids, I want to know any others that
yeah,
I
really.
Should know about because I need the dating pool is pretty small.
Exactly.
I'd rather not date my brother. That's cool.
It doesn't mention anything here, but I'm assuming that there are no health problems in the six-year-old daughter as a result of having parents that are half siblings. So that they may have dodged that bullet. I mean, that's always the fear with
right.
people who are
sure.
related to one another. But anyway, so I guess kind of a happy ending. They both found their birth moms.
Yes.
That's okay. True. Good point.
Happy ending. All right. All right. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Everyone says great things about you. The posture, the haircut, the tiny feet. It's amazing they hold you up. But they do. they do.
They do.
It's not that Kevin's feet are tiny. It's just that his head is enormous. His feet are normal size. They just look tiny.
Bean has spent quite some time trying to get Weird Al to play the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes.
And how would you say that's going, Bean?
I would say it has been slow going,
uh-huh.
but it is gaining momentum nationwide now as a result of the recent resurgence of Weird Al's popularity.
And a guy named Ed Ball. Mm-hmm. Who was the guy behind a petition. That
the most recent Weird Al played the Super Bowl petition.
Right, and most effective. I'm just saying you've tried it many times. Nothing happened. Ed gets involved. Boom!
God bless Ed. I've got nothing but love for Ed. If this is what needs to happen to get the ball rolling, to make Al the featured entertainer at the Super Bowl, then I'm all for it.
Bean has often said his favorite thing in the world is the internet. He also loves this Pope, this current Pope. And this current Pope is telling people, you know what? You should probably get off the internet. Get outside. You know, live
Enjoy
life.
Enjoy nature.
Enjoy nature.
Yeah.
So now what do I do?
So now what do you do?
I'm torn.
Bean can't possibly turn off the internet.
No.
No.
Well, why would you? The internet's so much better than real life.
Right. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. Riverside County is better than L.A. Better than L.A.
This is actually cities, 20 coolest cities in America list, and Riverside is ahead of Los Angeles.
It's cooler?
Cooler, yeah. Not weather.
Not weather,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Better place to live.
That's right.
Interesting, okay.
We're calling BS on that one right there. We also have the director of the movie Let's Be Cops, which we're very excited
about.
We have Luke Greenfield in the studio.
So and fascinatingly, we see that you see the trailer for that movie where the guys dress up as police officers and get into all sorts of hijinks. And you think, oh, that's a funny Hollywood idea. This director that we're having in actually did it. He actually did pretend to be a police officer. And that's partly where this movie came from, is based on his own experiences doing that, which seems super illegal.
Oh, it is. But I love it. Can't wait. So we'll talk to him today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. It's world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
What? Oh, sorry. It's Ralph's favorite part. Come on, man. You know that.
5:54. I like the old pirate ship sound.
Sort of weird. Yeah. Sure. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
How was your weekend?
Oh, busy.
Yeah?
But Fantastic. Good times had by all.
Well, let's get this party started.
Let's kick off the showbiz beat as we do every Monday morning with the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, in a half shell, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah!
$65 million made them number one this weekend.
Wow.
Right behind that, Guardians of the Galaxy, still very strong, with a little over $41 million, made it number two. Into the Storm. That was that Twister remake movie, basically. Made $18 million. It was number three. Then the 100-Foot Journey. How was that, Lisa? How was your 100-Foot Journey?
I didn't see it yet.
Oh, you better hurry.
I'm going to take my mom.
My wife took me to that movie.
What the heck now?
Yeah. You went to see that instead of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. It was sort of her pick.
Oh, right.
Geez. That excuse again.
So we went.
It's still America, though, right? Even though it's her pick, it's still America?
It sure is a movie about a couple of restaurants that are right across the street. And, man, do things happen. I'll tell you. It's crazy because...
You must have been so angry by all the talking.
She buys up a lot of the food that he needs, and then how's he supposed to compete?
Don't give away the plot. I haven't seen it yet.
God.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Jeez.
Ruiner.
It's only been out a few days.
It was deadly. Deadly dull.
So I know, I'm going to love it.
My wife said, how'd you like it? I said, well, it was acted well. It was directed well. But the topic I just have no interest in whatsoever.
It's like wine for you.
This is zero.
Why don't you, instead of this, your choice, my choice thing, why don't you just agree to go to movies separately?
We do. We do that a lot.
Well, then don't do that anymore.
But then occasionally, you know, we like to see a movie together.
And once in a while, Ralph, he actually likes a movie. He never in a million years thought he would. So it is the education of Kevin.
This is not one of them,
though. But what's the point of educating a rock, Lisa? The rock's not going to be less of a rock. It's still going to be a rock, that's all.
This movie blew.
Lucy was fifth at the box office, then Step Up All In its debut. I can't believe Kevin didn't go to see that instead.
Tried.
Hercules, Get On Up, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and Planes, Fire and Rescue were your top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Paramount Pictures has announced they are doing a sequel to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as of yesterday on the heels of its $65 million weekend. And they've already scheduled it for June 3rd. 2016, so
write that down.
Make sure you circle your calendars so you know exactly when it'll be opening. Nathan Followill, Kings of Leon drummer, was injured in a tour bus accident on Saturday. Band posted on its Facebook page that they were on their way back to their hotel in Boston after a concert when someone jumped in front of the bus. Driver had to slam on the brakes. That sent Nathan flying. He broke a few ribs.
Ouch.
Can't play drums with broken ribs, people.
No, you can't. Can't do much of anything with broken ribs.
Especially when you pass out and hit radiator.
Right.
The Kings had to postpone a show last night in Sarasota Springs, Florida, so Nathan can heal up. The band is supposed to perform on tonight's show with Jimmy Fallon tomorrow night, but that's up in the air because, as we mentioned, ribs are painful things.
Beer Mug likes beets, so... He could fill in, maybe. Anyone? No?
Okay. Sure. I'm all for that. I'm all for Mugs having the job. Absolutely.
I don't know. Kings of Leon with Beer Mug?
Be awesome.
Some bad blood there between some mutual fans.
Yeah, I hear you.
Something.
I myself am a drummer.
Right.
So, and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
He loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded. But that aside, let's see what else we can talk about here.
Right.
Used to be good before the other album that was not good.
Yeah, I got to keep those parties apart,
That's
I think.
That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hulk Hogan.
Come on.
Yay!
The Hulkster is 61 years old today.
He'll be here Friday.
I know. We're going to have a Hulk off. You're going to be a Hulk, and you'll talk to the Hulk, and we'll see who's more Hulky.
He is more Hulky. Can I just give up now? Can it be a forfeit?
Nope.
Oh, no.
He is the undisputed Hulk.
No, you got to play the game, man.
Viola Davis is 49 years old. Our buddy Joe Rogan celebrates his 47th birthday. Actress Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad is 46. Chris Hemsworth. He's Thor. Right?
He is.
That's what I'm saying.
That he is.
Asher, he's 31. Asher Roth is 29. And Allison Stoner, I'm like, who is this person? Why is they on my birthday list? Oh, it turns out she's one of the stars of Step Up All In.
And as you know, Dave, the King of Mexico makes my birthday list. She is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
It's a good song, by the way, that Riptide. Like that very much. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is a man that you see about 50% of the time when you turn on Channel 11. He's going to be on your TV. You can always find him at TMZ.com. And, of course, Monday mornings about this time on the Kevin Amin Show each week. Hey, Mr. Levin, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Got a lot of popo action on the site today.
No.
Nope.
Hold on.
Celebrity interactions with the police. What, Kevin? We're talking about the stories on TMZ.
Just a minute. Popo, nope.
You reject Popo, do you?
From you, I do, yes.
What's going on, Harvey?
Well, I mean, this is, I just think this is hilarious. So Bruce Jenner, I think he was coming back from Nobu. There was a family birthday party there. And he's driving down Pacific Coast Highway. I believe he's 64 years old. But, you know, 64 is the new, like, 40 now. So
sure.
I guess he can do this. So he decides to squeal his wheels. And the cops see it. So they light him up. And they pull him over.
Is that illegal?
Yeah, did you know there's a law in California, it's called exhibition of speed.
No.
And it doesn't mean you're speeding, but it's a way of, like, it's showing off. It's like doing wheelies and doing things like that.
Huh.
So when you screech your wheels, they can cite you for exhibition of speed. And they pulled him over, gave him a warning, saying that Bruce probably didn't like too much. Brody happened to be right behind him. So Brody videotapes the whole thing. And he's laughing as he's watching his dad get pulled over by the cops. So they do not ticket him, but it's really funny. And we have it on the website. It's hilarious.
The video that you put up of Kris Jenner, makes me understand why Bruce Jenner wants to drive away as fast as possible. Oh, my God.
They're not together. Remember.
Oh, my God.
That family.
He was there in that clip.
So, when you squeal your wheels, this is where you get a bunch of momentum going on your car before you actually put it into drive when you're taking off from a stoplight, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I don't know how he actually did it, but he apparently did it, and that's why the cops pulled him over. We talked to the cops, and that's what they said.
It is hilarious, though, and I'm glad you mentioned it in the first sentence, that he's 64 years old, and he's still out there doing stuff like this.
Well, you know, again, he's an Olympian. He's a laugh.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Speaking of the police, you've got another story that may have some more serious repercussions for the LAPD officers involved, and that's the Ray J story. What's this about?
See, this is just, I cannot believe the cops did this. So he's driving along, I think last Friday, Thursday or Friday, and he's in the San Fernando Valley, and it looks like he's texting. So the cops pull him over. He's in a new Bentley, and they pull him over, and they say, you were texting while you were driving, and he said, no, I wasn't. I was trying to put my Bluetooth in, which makes absolutely no sense. And so they run his registration. They come over to the car. Now, remember, Ray J has a history because about a month before, he was in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Wilshire. I don't know if you remember this, and he got really drunk, and there was a whole thing inside the bar, and then he kicked the police car window out and spit on the cop. And
all right.
The criminal, the whole thing. So the cops look at him and say, get out of the car. And so he's panicked. He gets out of the car, and they say, can we take a picture with you?
Wow.
Yeah. And so he says, sure. And so the cops take pictures with him. And then, and they say, we're just going to give you a warning. And then, which is just bad, because you know what this is. It's like there's an appearance of impropriety that the cops.
Absolutely.
It's obvious. So then Ray J says, well, can I take a picture with my camera of you guys with me?
What the hell?
They should have said no to that, but they said yes. So, of course, Ray J takes the picture. We end up getting the picture. And, you know, because it's a story. And so the cops are kind of looking at this right now because, you know, it's just
you know,
not.
I would be willing to bet, Harvey, and I bet you know something on this and aren't allowed to say, that celebrities get pulled over every single day in Los Angeles that get sent away with a warning because the officer is starstruck. We just don't ever hear about it because no one's dumb enough to take pictures and put them up on social media.
Well, but it's older than that because, you know, in fact, I talked to a cop on Friday about this story, and we were talking, and this is pretty high up official. And they were saying, look, there is a reality here. And you know what happens, that, you know, a cop stops a pretty girl and, you know, they give them a warning and
right.
they don't give somebody else. But the problem is, it's like if he stops a pretty girl and says, can I have your number? And they get the number and then they don't give him a ticket. That's really bad.
Absolutely.
And so, but that's been going on forever, and the celebrity is just kind of a different twist on the same thing.
No,
so,
you're right. You're right about that. But I'm also surprised, and I mean this completely honestly, Harvey, I'm also surprised that anyone in 2014 considers Ray J a celebrity. Like, what does he even do anymore?
Well,
he's still the sex tape with Kim Kardashian.
That sex tape is one of the biggest selling sex tapes in the history of sex tapes. And look, it made Kim Kardashian a star, and he's half of it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So that's all he needs.
That's all he needs. I mean, you know, he's had some songs, and, you know, he's had a reality show. But that sex tape put him out there.
I guess so. I guess that's all you need for your career if you're Ray J. What's going to happen to these police officers, by the way? You say they're investigating it now?
Yeah. My guess is they'll get, like, a light discipline. I mean, I don't think anything really big is going to happen. I don't know. But, I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, maybe they'll suspend him for 3 days, something like that. But they just shouldn't do that.
I'd like to hear the meeting, though, where they have to get in front and go, come on, people. No selfies with celebrities.
No. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, look, you have bad judgment on two counts. One, you shouldn't take a picture with anybody who's famous. And
right.
Two, Ray J, seriously?
Yeah, Ray J.
Seriously, exactly.
Yeah.
TMZ OG airs on Fox Channel 11 4 times a day. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4. And the TMZ Sports airs on Channel 13 Monday through Friday at 11 a.m., where I'm sure you're going to have a lot today on the Tony Stewart Crash over the weekend,
yeah.
Harvey. We'll definitely be tuning in. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Bye now. Director, writer, producer of Let's Be Cops, Luke Greenfield, joins us next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show. That's that hilarious-looking movie with Damon Wayans Jr. and Jake Johnson from New Girl. Also, we talked to the man who's trying to get Weird Al to play the Super Bowl halftime show. That's coming up. And Riverside, one of the cruelest places to live in all of the USA, which is a big surprise to us, having been to Riverside. But we'll discuss with you coming up later this morning on The Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
You love this, Pope.
I do love the Pope.
I don't have that category. Popes I love or don't love.
I'm not a Catholic, but
you don't even believe in God, right?
I am unclear on that. I'm agnostic, I think. But I will tell you that the Pope says a lot of things that make sense to me. And I think if we listened to the Pope, I think we would be a kinder, gentler, sweeter, nicer world.
I agree. He's different than all the other popes that I've grown up with.
He does seem to be, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's come out lately and said that perhaps people are spending too much time on the internet.
He's probably right.
He is probably right about that. Look, I love the internet. I never don't want to be connected. But I understand that especially this current generation, I think, has lost the ability to communicate with one another, not on a computer. And I really do think that that is not necessarily a good thing.
You think he's specific? He's talking to you specifically, though, B?
No, I don't. I think he's talking about. I think he's talking about young people who are not spending time outdoors, not spending time with their friends, not having any kind of face-to-face contact, not being in touch with nature, not being in touch. Look, here's one serious thing that is a result of you always having a screen in front of you is there's no time for self-reflection anymore. Nobody sits on the couch and just thinks anymore.
Mm-mm.
About their life or about the big issues or about the world. And I think the Pope, rightfully, is pointing out that maybe that's hurting us overall.
Well, we have him on the phone if you want to ask him.
Absolutely. Pope Francis, my favorite Pope, absolutely. Let's talk to His Holiness back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Pope.
Good morning. God bless you.
And to you as well. How have you been? How are things going being the Pope?
It's good. It's good to be the Pope.
Imagine.
Got a nice place to live.
Sure.
Food is good. Good.
Yeah.
Good chow at the cafeteria.
Good.
The Vatican.
It's funny you should say that because I saw the pictures of you bussing your own tray in the Vatican cafeteria the other day. Rather than having a fancy schmancy meal brought up to your private residence, you just go down and sit with everybody else.
Yes, go to the cafeteria. It's fine. Good food. Everybody's very nice.
I love it.
I just get to hang with my peeps.
All right. Speaking of your peeps, some of them are concerned that you may be talking to them when you say, hey, kids, get off the internet. What's going on, Pope?
Well, come on. Too much time on the internet. The internet is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's too much wasted time on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to use it productively, to learn, to work, but come on with the goddamn Kardashians.
Whoa.
Right? Are you with me?
Okay. But the language, I don't expect to ever hear the Pope say goddamn.
Well, I'm the Pope. I can get away with it because I'm infallible.
Yeah, true. So what you're saying is if somebody's following you on Twitter and you have millions of followers, that's a good use of the internet because you can spread your message quickly. But don't waste your time with stupid things is what you're saying.
Yes, it's because too much life is too short. You need to go out there and enjoy your life, not look at selfies from some whore.
Some of those selfies are pretty good, though.
But you don't need everyone all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying stop it with the lava lamps and the beanbag chairs and all the things. Just go out there, have a good time, enjoy life, and, you know, once in a while, stick it to a stranger. That's all I'm saying.
Excuse me, stick it to a stranger, yeah, Your Holiness?
Hey, baby, how you doing? Oh, you look pretty good. Boom! Knock it out in a bush or something. Live your life.
What's happening here? This is not the Pope that I know and love.
I was a bouncer in a nightclub, for God's sake. I lived a life before I was a Pope.
Sure.
I was a young man. I spread my wings.
But as Pope, should you be telling people to knock it out
in a bush?
Yeah, go for it. Live your life, kids. That's what I'm saying. Stop. Get off the internet, you fat pieces of garbage with your video games and your selfies and, Angry Bird. Kill yourself if you're like that. Go out there and live a life. Have a good time.
It is true that when you were coming up, Pope Francis, as a small boy in Argentina, you would probably just go outside and just play with your friends and play, you know, play ball in the street.
We play soccer. We pick
hide and seek.
We get late, we get drunk, we live a life, we don't sit in front of the computer. This Facebook Messenger, what should I do? Should I sign up for the app or not? Kill yourself, that's what you should do.
Well, I don't know that suicide is a good message from the Pope either. A lot of people take you seriously. You got to be careful with the words you choose also.
Oh, I'm sorry, don't misunderstand. I wasn't talking to everybody, I was just talking to you, Bean.
Hey!
Bean should kill himself.
That's what I meant when I said I was talking to Bean.
I see.
Yes. But you're my favorite Pope, but I love you.
Well, he doesn't love you. So maybe you should do what he says. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Monday morning, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What is going on?
Because it is Monday morning. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office, starting with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As expected, its debut, number one this weekend, $65 million all in. So pretty good weekend for those turtles.
That had to be more than they were even counting on, I bet, right?
That
seems high to me.
I think the estimates were somewhere between 50 and 60, so it is above what they thought were coming in. Guardians of the Galaxy did very well again this weekend, $41.5 million. Then Into the Storm, in its debut, was third with $18 million. The 100-Foot Journey and Lucy were the top five movies at the box office. Step Up All In, sixth. Hercules, Get On Up, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and Planes, Fire, and Rescue rounded out the top 10 at the box office. Was the King of Pop indeed the King of Poop? Here's a question being asked in the New York Post today.
It's the best story ever.
Three maids who worked at the Neverland Ranch claimed Michael would walk into his house with animal dung all over his shoes and track it through the house. And if they ever complained, he said he would threaten to throw poop snowballs at them.
he would make poop balls and threaten to throw them at people.
Yes.
Awesome.
He also allegedly just took a whiz indoors anywhere, anytime he wanted. Ooh. According to the maids, who were working constantly trying to clean up after him. His bedroom was apparently off limits to the maids. They were not allowed to go there and clean up, and reportedly was a total mess with old chicken bones, junk food wrappers, empty whiskey bottles, and sheets that he refused to change or allow his maids to change. One maid claimed that room was so filthy there were bed bugs and other vermin everywhere.
Gross.
So, Michael Jackson, filthy bastard.
Now, are we glad to hear this news, or are we sad to hear this news?
Does it have to be one or the other?
Yeah. I find it funny that he was throwing balls of poop.
Sure.
That makes me happy.
Because Kevin's a monkey, and he thinks that's fun and entertainment.
I just can't imagine actually being in that situation where you're working for somebody and threatens to throw a ball of poop at you.
I just wish we didn't know any of this.
Why?
What difference is it? Oh, because really, I'm starting to think Michael Jackson might have been weird. It's really coloring my opinion of Michael Jackson. Things may have been off there at Neverland. I'm starting to have my suspicions.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what is served by this information coming out now for a guy that's already been dead for a few years, you know?
It's damage just, his sterling reputation.
I don't like
he
it.
He was a loon. What he difference loon. Does it make?
And how do you get to, I mean, I guess that's why you have to go for 10-year-olds is because maybe they don't care about chicken bones on the floor and bed bugs in the bed.
Ugh. Good times.
Good times indeed.
Bean, you know, is obsessed with this Mr. Skin website thing.
Right. Well, I think Mr. Skin is a great American. I don't know what you mean by obsessed. I rarely ever go to the site. I just love Mr. Skin.
So you love the guy who runs the website, but you don't really go to the website.
I'm just impressed with what he's done. I'm impressed with his knowledge.
I picture being on that website about 4 hours a day.
He's a savant.
Anyway, it's the 50th anniversary of the website's launch, and so to celebrate, he has listed the most searched for male and female nudes via his site.
Okay.
You know, he's got Mr. Skin and then Mr. Man is the other site for the ladies and fellas who dig fellas. You can go check out nude. For those who aren't familiar, Mr. Skin is a guy who collects the nude appearances of actors in mainstream motion pictures. Seems like an enormous waste of time on his part, but here's what he has to offer. Top five most searched for actresses via Mr. Skin. Salma Hayek was fifth. Yeah. Eva Green was fourth.
Now she's naked a lot.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus was third.
Ugh, really?
Now, why?
Explain that to me.
I don't know.
Is she in the He's girl category?
Buddy. He's your buddy. It's your website. You tell me.
But why would people go to Mr. Skin looking for Miley Cyrus naked, do you think?
Why would anyone go to Mr. Skin? It's my question every time
because
we talk about this.
Maybe you find an actress attractive and you'd like to see her in other things.
Without
clothes.
Because
you haven't seen everything she's done, so you want to see, you know, what's up.
Without clothes.
She's the opposite of sexy, though. Miley Cyrus specifically has Justin Bieber's body. So I don't know exactly how thrilling that would be.
Number two is Alexandra Daddario.
Oh, yeah.
Must look her up.
You guys would recognize her, I think. I think she's on that Undateable show, I want to say, that Bianca's on. But I think she was also in Californication. That's where she became famous. She's Susan Sarandon's daughter, if you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful girl.
Number one, Scarlett Johansson.
Sure.
On Mr. Man, number five is Brad Pitt. Then Jake Gyllenhaal, Zac Efron, Mark Wahlberg, and number one, Michael Fassbender. People want to see his giant Fassbender.
Sure.
I guess that's why they go there. Speaking of giant, it was all over the internet this weekend. Pictures of Idris Elba on the set with what looked like a python in his pants. It was practically down to his knee. Everyone was circulating those pictures. However, he has stepped up and said, what you're seeing in those pants is not a gift from nature at all, but in fact is some sort of microphone cable. To which I say, who mics your pants? I find this whole thing suspicious. I think maybe he's just trying to deflect. Maybe he's a little embarrassed that he wasn't wearing underwear that day. But where does a mic cable go into your pants for?
Yeah.
And unless you're recording farts. I can't imagine why I wouldn't have a mic in your pants leg.
And why argue with that, what everybody thinks that is?
Yeah, let it go. Yeah, so, yeah, that's me. Who's your daddy now? That's what he should have said instead. Today's celebrity birthdays, Allison Stoner from Step Up All In. I'm going to take this right off the list.
How dare you?
21-year-old Step Up All In star Allison Stoner does not need to be on the celebrity birthday list. Chris Hemsworth, Thor! He's 31. Anna Gunn is 46 years old. Our buddy Joe Rogan is 47. Actress Viola Davis turns 49. And wrestling legend Hulk Hogan, 61 years old today. Brother, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's be cops, you guys.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Right? That's the name of the film in theaters this Wednesday. Director, writer, producer of the movie, Luke Greenfield, joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Luke.
Hello.
So Ralph Garman comes to us a few weeks ago, and he says, my buddy Luke's got a new movie out. And we're like, no. And he says, no, seriously, it's going to be really funny. So we said, tell us more. And here you are. How do you guys know each other?
Jeez, boy. We've known each other, what, about 10 years?
At least,
at
yeah.
At least. Longer, I guess.
My buddy Juan Castro met Ralph, who was my roommate at the time. And we were hanging out.
Yeah, we just started hanging out.
Yeah.
But, Luke famously did a one of my favorite films called The Girl Next Door with Lisa Cuthbert. You ever seen that
film?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, that's yeah. a great
and
movie.
Emile Hirsch. It's a yeah. great film.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a great filmmaker. And we started talking about this film because I had a chance to see this movie. I got to see Let's Be Cops weeks ago. And I immediately shot Luke an email and said, this movie is so funny. Congratulations. And we started talking. And the reason I wanted to have him in, besides the fact he's my buddy and this is a great movie and we should be talking about it, was he told me the backstory to the film, which is he actually did dress up as a cop.
Sweet.
And F with people.
Sweet.
And my head exploded. I said, you should be shot or in jail.
Or definitely in jail. Now, that's super illegal, right, Luke?
It is super illegal.
I mean, it's one thing to put on a police officer's outfit and go out for Halloween and have a good time and everybody dresses up and it's understood. But when you're actually impersonating a police officer, that is a crime.
It is a crime. I think they call it a class 4 felony, which is definite jail time. Yeah. But I was, you know, I was a little younger and a little dumber back then, and I just thought it'd be kind of fun. But then when I kind of started realizing how serious it was, it made me a little nervous for sure.
Now, in the film, Jake and Damon, they are guys going to a party. They think it's a costume party.
Right.
And so Damon's got these uniforms that he's using in his work. You'll see it when you see the film. But they put on these cop uniforms and go to this party. That's kind of how it started with you, right? Didn't you ask
yes.
A costume designer in one of your films to give you a cop uniform?
That's exactly right. I was going to a Halloween party, and I asked a costume designer friend of mine, I said, hey, can you get me a real LAPD uniform? Because I figured, you know, let's look legit.
Sure.
And as I was walking,
if I'm going to go to jail, I might as well go for a good reason.
Exactly, right?
Want to look good.
And as I was walking down Sunset to the party, I felt a different energy. I mean, people, I was no longer this invisible, nerdy kid. I was a cop. And
did you make eye contact with people and go, what?
Absolutely. Oh, I started stopping people. And I couldn't believe that they didn't question it at all. And so I just had a lot of fun. I was very single back then. I was not married. So it was a great opener to meet girls on Sunset.
Sure.
Just to pressure them into dating you.
They were scared.
Hey, don't knock until you've tried it, Lisa. Some of us, that's all we've got.
As long as I lowered my voice, excuse me, and I, you know, kind of, hi, man.
But you had to be afraid every second of this impersonation that somebody was going to ask a question that was going to reveal you as an imposter.
You're right. At the very beginning, I was, until I started doing it more and more, and then I realized that, you know what, why would anyone question me? Why would anyone question that I was pretend?
Yeah.
So then my courage went up a lot stronger, and I started going further and further into it.
And you just did that day?
No,
No.
How long? Is that a year?
Then I was like, wow, this is really cool. And so I started doing a few nights in L.A., and then I then went to New York. I was writing a script in New York, and I had the same costume designer. I said, hey, could you get me an NYPD real uniform?
Sweet.
And that was when she asked. She said, listen, you know, sure, but promise me you're not do you know you're just going to parties, right? I said, oh yeah,
I'm not holding up liquor stores or anything.
Right? I said, yeah, no, I'm just going to parties, and I started just walking the West Village, and New York was really, because such a pedestrian city, as you know, that's where I really felt the responsibility. Like
you did.
I was messing with a ton of people.
Like you don't want to let people down.
You wanted to break up crime?
Did you become a crime fighter? You're like Batman?
I was so the opposite of the guy, you know, seeking justice. I was more of looking for hot chicks and bothering people.
Wait, I have
seeking
a question.
Something else.
When you would find the hot chick and she would go out with you, did you keep up the pretense?
You know, I wish I could say it went that far. There was, I chased down this model in West Village who was like hurrying to her apartment. I said, ma'am, where are we going? And she was
what's the rush, right. citizen?
And she stopped.
I like how you said, where are we going?
Right.
I like that.
She said, I'm going to my apartment. And I said, listen, so what, you know, what is the, what is the, you know, what's going on right now? What, you know, why are you in such a hurry? And she was kind of panicked, like, why was this police officer bothering her?
Sure.
But again, she's very respectful.
Right.
But, for me, I never had the guts to be like, well, I'm going to need your phone number.
That's
so,
the whole point of doing it.
I know.
At least search her for weapons. Come on, Luke.
Oh, I know. You guys.
What
he's a
baby.
Nice guy.
Hey, Luke, here's a perhaps too serious question for this interview, but did you notice any kind of a difference in the response that you got from pretending to be a police officer in New York, where I feel like the cops are held up on a pedestal, compared to in Los Angeles, where many people have a very negative view of the police?
Yes, yes. I mean, in New York, it was much more serious, and I was all eyes were on me. You know what I mean? I remember there were these two kids, kind of these two. I have a picture. These two punks were smoking weed in this park.
I like to call them punks.
Not for long.
It's two perps.
It's two perps.
It's two perps.
I'm smoking a joint in the park, and Luke comes in costume and sits down next to him.
Look at
that's
that guy's
so awesome.
Face.
I watch him ess a brick.
I literally didn't say a word to these guys. I just sat down next to them as they were smoking. And this is before, this is 2008. And
you say, are you sharing?
No, I didn't say a word.
Okay.
And they didn't know whether to run. They didn't know. They
to
were just,
eat it.
They were,
know
what they were so freaked out. So, yeah. But to answer your question, yes. I mean, in New York, that's where I kind of stopped because.
Yeah, that's too real.
I got this bad feeling that a guy was going to come running at me saying, hey, my wife's being beaten up. Help me.
Right.
Yeah. And then I'd have to be like, oh, dude, no, I'm not
no.
a cop. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So this uniform,
yes.
Did it include a radio?
It had a radio. And
how about
baton.
A gun?
No gun. And I was too scared to bring a prop gun because then I was like,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to get shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wish I was more courageous in life. I probably got taken a lot further like the guys in the movie. But
there's still time.
You know? That's true.
Still have the uniforms?
I do. Yeah, it's so funny. I still have
what,
it.
What made you stop, Luke?
I
came like, to his senses. That's
fear
what made
for
him
his
stop.
Life?
Honestly, feeling the responsibility, especially in New York, I was like, you know what? This is fun for me, but man, this could go really wrong. And also, in the research of the movie, in talking to cops and organized crime detectives, I respect these guys so much, and you know what they do is so incredible that it just
did you realize you were an a-hole?
That's yes, no, absolutely.
It was an homage.
I mean, they were amused by it, but you know, and they asked a lot of questions about how far I was going, and but then when I saw what they were really doing and going on ride-alongs and doing surveillance on organized crime, I was like, wow, I should.
Luke, what's the statute of limitations on impersonating a police officer? Because here you are talking about it, and it sounds like it was only 5-6 years ago.
That's why I'm here, by the way, is that my attorney found out the statute of limitations was like 5 or 6 years.
Sweet.
So you're good. You're
I'm
cool
totally
now.
Good.
Sweet.
Is there anything, this is the voice of Luke Greenfield here on the Kevin Bean Show, director, writer, producer of the film Let's Be Cops, which looks hilarious, opens on Wednesday. Is there anything specifically in the movie that actually happened to you when you were out playing a cop, or was it all just inspired by?
Sort of, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of spots where Damon and Jake kind of use the uniform to meet women, but the one key thing, I had stopped a guy just to kind of mess with him, and all of a sudden he was like, I am the most powerful defense attorney in this town. What is your badge number? And I just booked. I mean,
so you turned and ran from him?
I just turned around and booked around the corner. I can't imagine what this guy was thinking.
I bet he told that story forever, by the way,
I'm
about
sure
how he intimidated a police
run.
Officer.
Yeah, I made a cop run. That happened.
That's so funny.
Damon Wayans Jr. and Jake Johnson are the co-stars of the movie, but what a great cast. Rob Riggle is in this. Nina DeRob is in this. Andy Garcia. You got Key from Key and Peele. Natasha Leggero. So many more great people in the film. We'll talk a lot more about it with our guest, Luke Greenfield. The film is called Let's Be Cops. More in a moment when we return on K-Rock. Luke Greenfield in studio with us here on the Kevin Avine Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Luke G. You are pretty much living the dream. You moved to Southern California to make movies, right, Luke?
Yes, I did.
Actually, and it worked for you. It happened.
It happened. It was. I'm very, very lucky. I came out here when I was 18.
This film called Let's Be Cops, it opens every on Wednesday. We've all seen the commercials for it. It looks hilarious. You were telling us in the last segment, it's kind of, you know, the germ of it came from you in real life impersonating police officers. But you didn't tell us until the song, until we were out of the last break, that it did have an eventful ending.
Yes,
you kind of glossed over why you stopped doing it. You stopped doing it because you got caught.
What was the end of your career as a police officer impersonator?
We were doing my buddy Nick Thomas, who's been my buddy for 15 years, who was an actor when we were doing these hidden camera. We were doing some hidden camera bits, and Nicky Thomas co-wrote the script with me.
You as the cop.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. and also behind the scenes, we also had an actor doing as well, and we in Tempe, Arizona, we got arrested.
Yes,
we got arrested for impersonating an officer for disorderly conduct.
Yeah,
and what was interesting though is that when the cops grabbed us and grabbed our cameras and they were very unhappy, when they watched the footage of what we were doing, they started cracking up.
They liked it, really.
They were laughing hysterically.
Oh, that must have been such a release.
It was until they said, but you're still arrested.
And this is evidence.
And then we had to do community service, which was a new thing for me.
How much time? Community service, how much time?
Well, here's what we did.
People scoff at community service, and Bean and I have done it. It sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
We were lucky because they gave us options. They said, you know, we work with the elderly, and I said, I'm really not suited for that. I may not be the best equipped. They said, you know, work in a soup kitchen. I kind of said I had all these food allergies. And then I brought up the Big Brother program.
Right.
And they were interested in that. But when they saw my motivations were to get, you know, maybe two 17-year-old guys, really well built, you know, good with their hands, they could build things. Like
you wanted slave labor is what you wanted.
Somebody to build a garage.
I mean, this is where role models came out of. Is that was that experience? And then so they knew what I was up to, and basically I said, listen, well, I want to give back, and I'm going to do an internship program, and you know, we're going to bring students in and really learn the business. So we just hired 8 interns for a summer.
Dean, why didn't we think of that?
I don't know. I don't know. That's
so
brilliant.
Stupid.
And by the way,
as Luke mentioned, it led to the film Role Models that he also,
which was also
did.
You produced, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
That's unbelievable. So if you hadn't played a cop and been arrested for it, there would not have been a Role Models movie.
There would not have been, because that was we went with that premise. We said, "Wow, but what if we really did it?" And the little kid, little Bobby J. Thompson, he was originally written as a 17-year-old kid. And Sean William Scott was going to get in these huge brawls with him.
Right.
But then we met Bobby, and we were like, oh, my God, let's change the character. I mean, he came in – I'm sure you remember him from the movie.
Sure.
And he was so polite and sweet. I looked at the casting director, Lisa Beach, and I was like, this is not what we're looking for. And then Bobby's mom came in to the room and said, Bobby, show him what you got. And this kid started swearing at us and like
nice,
mom, intimidating
you, calling me things I've never even heard of.
And mom's like, come on, give it to him.
Oh, really?
And
he just turned it on.
He's like an attack dog. He took him off the leash.
He really was.
Is that Luke, where you white, you Ben Affleck? Is that where that's from?
Yeah, everything. I mean, he said so much stuff to me personally. I was kind of a little scared of him.
You strike me as a guy, Luke, and I don't at all mean this in a negative way,
okay,
who knew a lot about Renaissance fairs without doing the research.
You do mean that in a negative way.
That was Tim Dowling. Tim Dowling, the writer who we'd worked with, he was so obsessed with that stuff. And it's funny because I wanted more of an athletic ending. And he's like, no, dude, you got to see this.
Got to be nerdy.
And so we went to one and I was like, Timmy, you're so right. This is so perfect. So that's where that all came about.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time already. Boy, it goes fast. How'd you end up with Damon Wayans Jr. and Jake Johnson as your leads, and is it just a coincidence that they also co-star on The New Girl? Is that unrelated to that at all?
It's a total coincidence. Honestly, Damon Wayans Jr. was on a TV show called Happy Endings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jake was on New Girl. I had met them individually. And when I was my whole goal was to get two guys who had the real chemistry. I mean, I love Vince Vaughn.
Oh, you're not looking for well-built 17-year-olds anymore? You've moved on past
that? Not at that point.
Not in this job, I guess. And when I would talk to Jake in his trailer on The New Girl, and I said, hey, you know, what do you think of this Damon Wayans Jr. guy? His eyes lit up. And he was like, dude, do you know we shot the pilot together? I love that guy. And they hadn't known each other well. They'd done the pilot. They got along. And same thing with Damon. He was like, hey, dude, if you get Jake Johnson. And so I knew these guys had already had a respect and appreciation for each other. And then shooting the movie, these guys became brothers. I mean, they're literally a married couple right now. And then in post-production on Let's Be Cops, Damon decided to
rejoin the cast
of
New Girl.
Right? Exactly. So, they literally are like Siamese twins.
Wow.
But the whole cast, you got Keegan, who's hilarious, Rob Riggle, and I think his best performance ever. I had a chance to see this movie, as I mentioned, a couple weeks ago, and it is so funny, but also works as a movie on so many levels. I mean, the characters and the relationships between them, Nina Dobrev. I mean, it's a classic throwback to one of those buddy comedies of the 80s, but I think it's like updated and improved for
But you have Andy Garcia in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's also
how did
great
that,
in it.
How did that come about?
That was a dream.
Did he scare you?
No, I was so scared to meet him because I'm such a huge fan of Untouchables, Internal Affairs. You remember Godfather 3?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And he's the sweetest, nicest man I've ever met. And I even told him, I said, listen, I got to be honest, Andy, I am so freaking nervous right now to be talking to you. And he was fantastic. And, you know, when Andy came down to shoot, he was wondering, because the movie has a different tone. It's comedic at times, and it gets super dangerous and real. Because we were kind of really inspired by The Wire. And what would happen if
fake cops were in The Wire.
Exactly. And so Andy is much more of a dramatic role. But he's a funny guy. I mean,
doesn't strike you as funny or me as funny.
Oh, he's got a great sense of humor. Him and Jake really hit it off. They were I gotta keep telling them to stop laughing. They were laughing so hard.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of the torture scenes.
So you're opening up on Wednesday, so there's no excuse to not go see this before The Expendables 3, right?
That's right.
That didn't come out till Friday.
Yeah, that's our goal, is that we're a rated R movie for all the right reasons. And well, you know, one of our biggest concerns, you know, for the kids who are just under 18, you know, guys, instead of buying a ticket for Ninja Turtles or Guardians,
sneaking into yours,
right? You know, go find a hot chick who's 18, befriend her.
Ask her out. Tickets.
You know, make your move, and then go and Let's Be Cops.
And wear a police officer's uniform while you do it.
That's right. Can't go wrong.
Luke is also a listener of the station, and he's been a K-Rock fan for a long time. So I also implore you, while you're watching the film, look for the K-Rock cameo. K-Rock has a cameo.
Is that right?
That's right.
So
very cool.
So make sure you check it out. It was so funny. After I saw the film, I called him up and said, I saw it. You put us in there. That is so cool of you.
I insisted on it. I remember the props guy was like, do we have the rights? I'm like, I'll get the rights. Let's do it.
Don't worry about it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Luke.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for coming in. The movie looks fantastic. We can't wait to see it on Wednesday. Go see Let's Be Cops. Luke, please come back and see us again.
I'd love to. Thank you so much.
I was thinking this weekend when the biggest sports stories in America were involving NASCAR racing and professional golf, I was thinking, how much do we need football to come back?
Yeah.
Badly. We need our NFL to return, and it'll be here soon. And that's great news unless you're Cowboys fans, because the Cowboys, well, first of all, for America's team, they sure don't win a lot anymore, do they?
No, they don't. That's
been a long time since the Cowboys won anything, and they're becoming pretty famous for what's going on off the field. Jerry Jones has been in the news quite a bit lately. He is the owner of the Cowboys. He had that incident last week. You know, he's got that $2 million party bus, Kevin?
Yes.
3 couches, 9 TVs. I mean, it's just a beautiful, just rolling party bus. And apparently there were photos of the NFL head of officiating rolling out of the party bus with a bunch of girls. And people are like, hey, isn't that a little bit cozy to have the head referee partying with the owner of one of the teams that he is supposed to be impartial toward?
That does seem a little odd.
So I would imagine some of the other owners might not be crazy about that. And then there's this bizarre story that TMZ has been covering that I'm not sure I even follow, of a bunch of photos of Jerry Jones that were taken years ago that just recently were revealed of him at a restaurant with a whole bunch of strippers. And that's not what you expect from the owner of your football team either, right?
There's one with him behind, and he's got his hands on her boobs. And then there's another one where another girl is posing by his crotch.
Right, exactly, yes.
Really?
The girls in the picture say they don't remember very much about that night because there was a lot of alcohol involved. And maybe that's not what you want if you're the owner of a billion-dollar sports franchise. But we wanted to find out more of what's going on, so we asked Dave, hey, any chance we can talk to Jerry Jones himself, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys? I believe we've got him on the phone right now. Hi, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. How you doing?
We are good.
We're fine. Where are we catch? Are you watching some practice? What's going on there?
No, I'm in a business meeting right now. I just took time out to call you.
Oh, all right.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Well, do you have any? Am I hearing? It sounds like I'm hearing music behind you, Mr. Jones.
Nope. That's my ringtone.
Your phone is ringing a lot then, sir.
Yeah, sure okay. is. I'm popular guy.
Do you
How about
have
them Cowboys?
Well, no one's really talking about the Cowboys. I haven't heard a thing about what's been going on the field. All the action has been off the field this season.
Well, we're going to go to the Super Bowl, and everybody's very excited about it.
I see.
I wasn't aware that that had been decided. Is
oh,
that
yeah.
something you worked out with the head ref?
We're doing it. We're going all the way this year.
Are you getting a lot of heat from the head ref being on that party bus?
Look, the man's entitled to a private life as well as a professional life, and one does not necessarily have anything to do with the other.
Right, but it's one thing.
Hold on a second. Get me more singles. I need more singles over here. Thanks so much.
Are you at a strip club right now?
No, I am not.
Well, we hear music.
I am in a business meeting.
Right, right. But we hear music, and you just ask for singles.
I need single copies of that report.
I see.
So the thing about the ref, though, is it's not just like you guys had a drink or said hello or something like that. I mean, he was cruising down the Sunset Strip
mm-hmm.
on a party bus
right.
with a full-on party going on in the middle of the night.
Okay. And your point is what?
Well, I mean, it just seems like the other owners might be a little upset at the...
It's suspicious.
They can get their own party buses, too, and have a good time.
Well.
I don't understand that. Hold on. Woo!
Whoa. What are you shooting?
You them Cowboys?
are you shooting a gun at the strip club?
No.
It sure sounds like it.
You're crazy.
How about these photos that have...
Dirty robot!
Right, your quarterback. How about these photos that have surfaced on Twitter have since been deleted of you in not super compromising photographs, but you're looking very comfortable with the young ladies that are about 50 years younger than you in the pictures.
Those ladies are part of my organization, okay?
Isn't that worse?
No, not at all. They're part of our intern program.
I see.
And I was just supporting interns. And that one girl was falling over, so I had to help her.
That's the one that had her...
She wanted to let me fall on her face? That would be real nice if I let a girl fall on her face.
Right, but her she's smiling at the camera, and her face is by your crotch.
Well, that other one, is she looking for a contact lens?
In your pants?
No, that's dumb.
Well... So, are these photos?
I like them, Cowboy.
Are these photos part of some sort of extortion attempt or something? Because it's unclear what's going on.
It's clear to me what's going on.
Yeah,
and that's all that matters.
Right.
Contact lenses and falling.
That's your story.
Sure.
You're sticking to it.
Goddamn right, I am.
Right.
Cowboys.
So, Cowboys.
Look at the size of the screen of my stadium.
That is pretty big.
That's a big screen.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
We may not win. Diddly donk, but we got a big ass screen.
You do. That's very true.
Tony Romo, what the hell was I thinking?
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Rise Against, you guys, is playing at the Wiltern. That's a pretty big band for a pretty small place, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., September 16th and 17th. Go to KROQ.com for more details, and we'll give you a chance to win those tickets later this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, no surprise there, number one this weekend with $65 million in its debut. Guardians of the Galaxy was number two with a very strong $41.5 million. Then Into the Storm debuted with $18 million, making it number three. The 100-Foot Journey debuted with $11 million, made it number four. Then Lucy, rounding out the top five. Step Up, All In was sixth. Then Hercules, Get On Up, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and Planes, Fire, and Rescue. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. X-Men and Anchorman star James Marsden has been added to the cast of HBO's new science fiction drama, Westworld, which I can't wait for because it's based on one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a great film from the 70s where it's about a futuristic Western-themed amusement park where everyone inside of it is all androids. So you can shoot a guy down in the street. You can have like a quick draw contest, or you could have sex with a hooker at the saloon. And they're all androids, and no one gets hurt, and it's the ultimate vacation stop for wealthy Americans. Until the androids turn on you and start killing you!
No!
So they're going to do a series based on that on HBO, including Anthony Hopkins will be the head of the theme park. And Evan Rachel Wood also stars along with James Marsden, so looking forward to that. It was Michael Crichton wrote the book. So it was sort of a precursor to Jurassic Park, which was another story about a theme park gone bad. Yeah. This guy hates theme parks.
He does.
I don't know why. And Kings of Leon drummer Nathan Followill on the mend as he was injured in a tour bus accident on Saturday. Band posted on its Facebook page that they were heading back to their hotel in Boston after a concert where someone jumped in front of the bus. Beer mug. Nice job. The driver had to slam on the brakes. That sent Nathan flying, and that caused him to break a few ribs. Kings of Leon had to postpone their show in Sarasota Springs, New York last night because of Nathan's injury. They were supposed to be on the Tonight Show tomorrow night, but that's also up in the air. So we'll keep you posted on his recovery. And
let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer. Okay. I love beats.
Right.
I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer.
They're not looking for a new drummer.
Doesn't sound like they were looking for, they're not hiring.
No.
And it didn't last very long for Marcy and his new record label. They have dropped him just 3 weeks after the release of his first album for that label.
Wah, wah, wah.
Harvest Records is the name of the label. World Peace is None of Your Business was the name of the record. 3 weeks later, he has lost his record deal. It took him a long time to find a new label.
I'm sure.
He only signed for a two-album deal with Harvest, and they're like, you know what? Let's forget that other one. We got the one album.
He seems so cranky and hard to work with.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But I will tell you, I agree. But I will tell you this. I think he made a legitimate point that this album has been out for 2 months, and he said he hasn't received a single offer to appear on television anywhere in the world to promote this album, to interview about this album, or to perform. And that does seem like maybe the label isn't doing him any favors for publicity. Doesn't it seem like they should be kind of beaten, you know, kind of, you know what I mean?
Beaten? He should be beaten? That's what you're suggesting?
No, I'm saying they should be out there, you know, beating the bushes, trying to work up some interest in this album. It just doesn't seem like they did anything for him to promote it. I can understand why he's ticked off.
I don't think anyone has any interest in Marcy doing anything.
Anywhere. Well, there could be that.
I mean, he has his hardcore fans, but it's a pretty small group, I would imagine.
And he's a pain in the ass. Every time he goes on a TV show, remember, he wouldn't go on a TV show. They asked him to go on a TV show last year. It's like, no, because Duck Dynasty was going to be on that week or something.
Yeah, and they can't be serving meat in the lobby or anything like
that. Don't
be
such a pain in the ass. Maybe we'll get invited to more TV shows. Giant douche. Oh, now I'm going to hear it from those people, aren't I? Freaking Marcy people. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hulk Hogan, 61 years old today. Actress Viola Davis is 49. Joe Rogan's 47. Anna Gunn turns 46. Chris Hemsworth, Thor, he is 31. And Asher Roth celebrates his 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph was just mentioning the great Hulk Hogan celebrating his birthday today. He is going to be in studio with us on Friday morning. We've talked to Hulk on the phone before. Have we ever had him in before?
I don't think so.
No, I don't.
If we have,
so.
It's been an awfully long time. Mick Foley is going to be here tomorrow, so it's a 1-2 punch for wrestling fans. Also, comedian Bed Gleam on the program this week, and Brad Williams, along with our regulars, Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. So some good stuff coming up this week here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. All right, this is was a surprise to us when we saw the headline. Forbes magazine, who, as you know, releases lots of lists, is out with their new list of the top 20 coolest cities in America. Couple surprises in the list. In case you're wondering, by the way, what makes a city cool, they have a formula that they put together. Arts and culture, what sorts of things are available for entertainment, recreation in the area, diversity of the community, what the restaurant situation is like, how much of the population is youthful, how much the population is increasing, which sometimes is a sign that your city is doing something right if more people are moving in than are moving out. So two things were really a surprise to me on this list from Forbes. Number one is that the coolest city in America is Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Shocking. That's bizarre beyond words.
It's a little bit of a surprise to me only because I think of the suburbs around Washington, D.C. as being some really nice areas to live in.
But right.
My impression of, and it's been many, many, many years since I lived in that area, but my impression of much of downtown D.C. is a place you wouldn't want to live. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe they've turned it over. Maybe it's great now. I don't know. But they were number one.
Though? They turned it around enough that it's number one in the country?
Coolest city in America, number one. So that was surprise number one for me. Surprise number two for me was Riverside, California. You know that place that you drive through as fast as possible to get to Las Vegas?
To get to anywhere else?
Number eight
on the list of coolest cities in America.
Okay. What? I don't even believe that.
Well done. Your wife is a lucky woman. Riverside, San Bernardino, Ontario is the metro area that is number 8 on this list of the coolest cities in America. Now, by the
That's
way, I should mention that California owns this list. Let me see where I can find it. I think they have 8 cities, I think, in the top 20. I can't see where it is in the article right now, but 8 cities in the top 20. Riverside was number 8. Los Angeles was number 16.
Oh, please.
So now we have to say, and it's been a long time since we've engaged our friends in the 909 and the 951, but now we have to say, is it possible that Riverside is cooler than Los Angeles?
No.
I can't imagine.
No, it's the Valley of the Dirt People. Come on.
But we say that, but then we don't live there either, Kevin. Maybe Riverside has got it going on. I think it may be time for us to hear from some of our IE people.
About why it's cool?
Meaning, does Riverside have it going on? I mean, do they support?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear from people who support this list?
Yes. I want to hear from some people who believe that Riverside is cooler than Los Angeles, because maybe we are just dead wrong with our quick impressions of Riverside, and maybe it is.
I mean, at least at one point, it was more of a bedroom community. People moved there because they could afford homes, but then they had to drive into work.
Right.
So it wasn't really super developed in terms of lots of shopping and lots mm-hmm. of great restaurants. You know what
what was there instead? Dirt.
Dirt. Maybe that's changed. I don't know.
One of the reasons that they picked Riverside is because it's close to L.A. Well, that doesn't make sense then, right?
You mean they moved there because it was close to L.A.?
They're saying one of the things that makes Riverside great is that
because come into L.A. for stuff.
You can still drive to Disneyland and you can still drive to – right, I gotcha.
Okay.
Let's take a look at, and we want to take your calls, by the way, especially if you're in Riverside, live in Riverside, or Ontario, San Bernardino. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. What constitutes cool in the eyes of Forbes? They rank the 60 largest metropolitan areas. Riverside made the cut based on the criteria like this. They looked at areas with large young adult populations, aged 20 to 34, growth in population since 2000, and an ethnically and culturally diverse population. That describes Riverside to a T. They also tallied up the number.
Describes L.A. to a T, too, doesn't it?
L.A. does not have a lot of young people moving in anymore, and its population is declining, which I would think in Los Angeles would be good news if you heard people were moving out, because you got plenty of people, right?
Right. We're not looking for more people.
You're not looking for more people, right. They also tallied up the number of entertainment options per capita in the area, including professional and college sporting events, golf courses, zoos, theater performances, national parks. They also studied the foodie culture of the cities, favoring more mom-and-pop shops than your average chain restaurants, also farmers markets and breweries. And apparently Riverside is good on all of that, including being a big college town, having the Joshua Tree National Park, Riverside County Philharmonic. So it just goes on and on and on to talk about how...
Did they mention dirt?
Well, I mean, is it possible that Riverside is not just dirt anymore? Is it possible that in the last 15 years, Kevin, since you set foot in it, that it's become cool?
No. That's not possible.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. See what you think about this if you've got firsthand knowledge. And why don't we start with let's start with Jasmine. Jasmine is on line 3. She is in L.A. Let's see what she's got to say.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hey guys, good morning. Hi,
morning.
Lisa.
Hi.
What's going on?
Riverside's got it going on, you guys. I love it. They've got a really good nightlife, and the food there is really good. LA's great, but you guys have to go out to Riverside and just check it out.
Where are you specifically in Riverside?
I was right near UCR, so Orange Crest.
Okay.
Oh, they have a college there?
Oh, my God, yes.
Now, back in the day, many years ago, we used to have a lot of fun making fun of the Valley of the Dirt People. We used to enjoy it. It's been a long time since we've talked about it. But at the time, I remember people that we spoke with who lived in the IE lived there because they couldn't afford to live in the LA. Is that not the case anymore? Are people living there because they choose it? They want to live there?
Yes, of course. Houses there aren't as cheap as they used to be. I think you're thinking of like really early 90s because I have family that moved there at that time. And now you can't really buy a house there for under 300.
No kidding.
So, it, yeah, it's you guys go check it out and then come back. And
nope. We've been to Riverside 100 times. I know. I've been there. I know what it is. It's dirt.
You've driven through there.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody goes there to stay.
What's
wrong? Yeah, you don't get out of your car, but that's that's good. That's close enough to see it, right?
Right, I can see it.
All right, Jasmine, appreciate the call. Thanks so much. 1-800-520-1067. Is Jasmine right? Is Riverside actually a cooler city than L.A.? Forbes magazine says yes. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. We're going to talk to the man behind the latest petition to get Weird Al to play the Super Bowl halftime show. It looks like this could be the one that makes an impact. This is a petition that has taken off, so we'll talk to that guy coming up. First, though, Forbes magazine says that Riverside is a cooler city than Los Angeles. They got the new rankings out. We're hearing from a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners on this topic.
Not just cooler, by the way. L.A. is, I believe, 16th. Riverside is 8th.
Yeah, so quite a bit up.
Yeah, it's a big jump.
Vanessa writes in, if you didn't drive through so fast, you'd see that Riverside has gotten cool, Kevin. L.A. is all traffic and douches anyway, is what Vanessa says.
Well, there are some downsides to L.A., no question about that.
Koopaloop says, did the study also take into consideration the number of meth labs per capita? Hashtag fire beer mug.
Sure.
Great point. Jaron writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, Riverside, because it's a short trip to the beach, a short trip to the Vegas Colorado River, a shorter distance to Big Bear. The people are nicer, probably a little less ghetto. Overall, I love where I live. And Curry writes in, I'm from Riverside. I love it, but no way is it better than L.A., but we do have better weed, which I don't think Forbes even factored in, by the way.
They should have.
The weed. All right, let's take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with David? He's in Riverside. He's on line 8. I understand he's very upset with us.
Hey, David.
951 representing all day.
Yeah.
951. All right.
What's going on? We were surprised to see how cool Riverside was. What are we missing?
Well, first of all, Kevin, it's not dirt. We're actually full of orange trees, but we're getting developed so much they've taken all of those out. What I'm really mad about, though, is that that guy on Twitter took my number one main reason. We do have the best weed out there.
The best weed. Look, the best weed is an important factor. I agree with you that that's an important factor, but Forbes doesn't factor that in.
Right, it's their mistake, clearly.
You guys have the best meth, too, right?
The only thing that's bad about Riverside is the 91 freeway.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's the worst part. Anyway, I work in L.A. every single day. All it is out there is just bums and trash and just mean people, dude. I deal with it every single day.
I think that's accurate.
Riverside is like, Riverside's the up and up city of California, SoCal. We're coming up.
All right. It's the up and up city. It has been said. Thank you, David. We appreciate the call on that, sir. David doesn't need any more weed, by the
way. No, he does not.
Let's see. How about, who do we like here? Let's go to Justin. He's on line 2. I think he has a dissenting opinion.
All right. Hi, Justin.
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May, how are you?
Good.
Glad to hear it. I live in Chino, California, which is close to Riverside. I'm from Orange County.
Right.
All right.
In fairness, it's not as dirty as it was, Kevin.
Okay.
But as far as nightlife goes, dead. Dead.
Riverside is dead. Now, what about Los Angeles for nightlife, though? That's one of Kevin's big complaints, is that almost everything closes so early in L.A.
Well, just drink at the Redwood. Problem solved.
All right. Beautiful. Done.
I'll drive. I'm from Orange County. I'll drive 30, 40 minutes to go to Orange County, Costa Mesa, go party on the weekends because there's nothing to do in the 909. Except for party with Affliction t-shirts.
You know, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. A listener from Las Vegas, he's a podcast listener, but he saw us writing about this on Facebook this morning. He said, I need to chime in. I grew up in the 951. I thought it was great. I worked at the Phil, which is the Philharmonic, which is awesome. I enjoy the lakes, the camping, but a cool city, not so much, unless you consider being that known one time as the meth capital of the world or the Valley of the Dirt People. Riverside is anything but cool. That's why he lives in Las Vegas now, where SoCal moves every weekend to kill the pain. I hate SoCal, but I love Kevin to be on my phone. Thanks. P.S. Fire beer mug and get Chip a milk crate so she can take over. Good idea there, too. Keep on listening for your chance to win tickets to go see Rise Against at the Wiltern. Tickets go on sale Friday morning at 10 a.m. Those shows in September will give you a chance to win some before the end of the show. Hey, we were talking earlier about how we're right around the corner from the new NFL season. Can't wait.
They haven't picked the halftime entertainment yet, have they? I don't know when they make that announcement, but they wouldn't have decided yet on who's going to be playing the next Super Bowl.
I don't think so.
February, right?
I don't think I've seen that, no.
Well, then why not Weird Al Yankovic?
Why do you have to say it so high?
Because I'm excited. How many years have we been talking about wanting the great Weird Al Yankovic to headline the halftime show?
Well, by we, I think we all agree with you that it would be good, but it's mainly you.
Al is the best human that ever lived. We've been talking about it for a long time. Now the idea is starting to get some momentum. Hot on the heels of Al's recent number one album, Mandatory Fun, there's a petition online at change.org by Mr. Ed Ball that has, as of this morning, if I'm reading this correctly, over 120,000 signatures. That ought to get the attention of somebody at the NFL. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Pretty good. Thanks for having
me. It's our pleasure.
Thanks. Yeah, I, you know, came up with this on a whim after a night of a few beers. I'll just put it that. And
sure.
Threw this thing together, and I never expected it to take off. And like you said, 120,000, and it's still going strong. I'm still in awe.
Now, do we know exactly what the process is? I mean, will this have any effect on the people who picked the halftime show for the Super Bowl?
Well, definitely. Hopefully, it'll sway some opinion of the NFL execs and whoever, the PR people who end up deciding it. Still waiting to hear back from both camps, from actually Weird Al. I think he was on vacation, and the NFL people. Might be a little too early for them to decide, but hey, this is it's been brought to the national spotlight.
Well, I can tell you that Al is in because we've spoken with him multiple times on our show about this, and he is very flattered by it anytime it comes up, and it's a dream come true for him. He would love to do it, but, he's got to be asked. Now, as for the NFL, we don't know if they accept any kind of input from the public. I assume that they've got a small group of people that sits down and just decides who's going to play, right?
Right, and I mean, I guess the acronym of the No Fun League is has definitely been tossed around because, I don't know if they consider public opinion when they make these decisions, but hey, I mean, who better act to have, family friendly, everybody would love it, and reach out to a new demographic, which is why
absolutely.
I threw that idea around. Yeah.
Tell me why that night, you live in Seattle like me, right, Ed?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're out, you're getting in your cups and you go home and you're a little tipsy. Why did you have Al on the brain? Why were you even thinking about the Super Bowl?
Well, I was overhearing a conversation between a few people talking about, the Seattle Seahawks going to Super Bowl the second time in a row. They're it's pretty presumptuous for them to make that assumption, but hey, they're talking about going down to Arizona and what they're going to do, the plans, and then somebody chimed in about a halftime show saying, hey, who's going to perform? Is it going to be Justin Bieber? Is it going to be, Miley Cyrus? They started naming all these teeny boppers, and I'm like, no, this cannot happen.
It should be both of them, Bieber and Miley Cyrus.
Yes, I would love to see that train wreck.
now, have you done any research? I mean, we've all been watching the Super Bowl our whole lives, but I mean, the kinds of acts that they generally have seem to be a lot of classic rock comes to mind. I think about the Bruce Springsteen, I think about the Rolling Stones, I think about The Who, Paul McCartney. I mean, that's where they go a lot of years, right?
Right. And that reaches out to the average, Joe fan, like I stated. Everybody would love to have another classic rock. I think people are talking about AC/DC, Foo Fighters, which that's great. But if you're trying to reach out to a whole new demographic and trying to, gauge the general public's opinion of it, why not Weird Al? Bring that humor that we see in the commercials to the halftime show. Make it appeasing so everybody's not turning the channel or going to watch the Puppy Bowl.
By the way, Foo Fighters, awesome idea. Awesome.
Right.
Even better than Weird Al.
How dare you, first of all. Look, there are a lot of opportunities to see the Foo Fighters. How often are you going to get a chance to see a Weird Al concert on your TV, Kevin? Come on.
I don't know the answer to that.
And the thing about Al is, I mean, the timing of this petition, Ed, couldn't be any better because obviously, he's made headlines all over the world with his recent number one album and those viral videos. I mean, I feel like he's more popular now than he's ever been, so you're just spot on your timing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, it was kind of strike while the iron's hot. And that's kind of why Weird Al was on the mind when I went home and started that petition. I mean, the album's great. The videos have been amazing. And I toss it in there. If the NFL wants to do a collaboration, they want that star power, get Madonna there to do like a surgeon and, perform with them, or get, Pharrell or whoever else he's parodied to come on the stage. And hey, if they want to do their hits while he does his parodies, that's fine. Do something where it makes it, more entertaining for the outside, the general box of the fans.
That's an interesting idea to kind of make them collaborations with the original artists of the songs that he's parodied. I hadn't thought about that. Now, have you seen, you've raised a little bit of, you know, a little bit of eyebrows over at the New York Daily News. Have you been following that controversy?
You know, someone just brought me the attention to their link, and I don't read the Daily News. I guess they're behind the Post and the Wall Street Journal and whoever else. So, I mean, if they want to say that I lifted their idea, whatever. I mean, I don't know if there's such.
What are they saying? They're saying they came up with it?
Yeah, they're laying claim to it. And I bet you there's someone else that laid claim to that way before they did. So,
sure.
You know, it's not about the whole petition and who gets kudos for it. I just want to see word out the Super Bowl. You know, I'm not trying to make a buck or anything off this. Just want to see him, you know, put on a great show and, you know, get the guy the support and, you know, the services due.
Well, I don't have any doubt that your motives are pure here. I only bring it up because Julian Garcia, the guy who wrote the article a couple of years ago in the New York Daily News, we had him on at the time and talked to him about what a great idea it was. And there were other petitions at that time. And then the following year, there were other petitions. But yours is the first one that's kind of really caught fire because of the great timing involved. I wonder what the timeline is. Like, when does the NFL finally sit down and decide, I wonder?
Right. Now, that's what one of the things, the change.org people, their PR have done a great job in assisting with, and they, I know they're going to reach out to the NFL and, you know, see if they can bring this to light and get their response, you know, whether they say yay or nay, you know, at least to have some kind of general response on it rather than just ignore the idea of the whole general public. And
we're behind you, Ed. I mean, we've, you know, like I said, we've been talking about this for a long time. We've had Rich Eisen on from the NFL Network, and we've pitched it to him. I mean, we're throwing it out there to anybody who will listen. I just want them to consider the idea because I think it would be amazing.
It would be fantastic. It'd be one of the best shows I think we'd ever see.
All right, take it easy.
So change.org is the website, and what, just do a search for Weird Al's name, and your petition will come up, Ed?
That's it, yeah, just go there. I mean, and one of the things with change.org, I know that site's used to, you know, to bring to light some other more important issues, but, you know, they're very supportive because this actually garnishes more support for those other petitions that are going on and, you know, brings to light some other key issues. So go there, search for it. And
Ed, when the Seahawks do go back to the Super Bowl and when Weird Al is playing the halftime show, you and I are heading down to Phoenix, my man.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
All right. Thanks, Ed. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeat Show, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, bye. 106.7 K-Rock has KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBeat Show at 8:53.
Or whatever time it is. Hey, Ralph Graven is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
I realize that, you know, sometimes we pick on Bean for being a little out of step.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I realize now what it is, and he can't talk about it, which makes sense, but he's a time traveler. He's from another time.
Bean's a time traveler.
Yes.
Okay.
Because in the last segment, you were talking to the guy with the Weird Al thing. Mm-hmm. He said, so, anyway, you're leaving the restaurant, and you're in your cups.
He did say that, and I didn't understand what
cups,
that...
In your cups? You know why you didn't understand?
What does that mean?
Because that is a phrase from the 1800s, which meant that you were overserved, that you were loaded, were wasted.
In your cups?
In your cups.
But it's an expression that is still alive today that
people
still use.
No,
absolutely,
they don't.
Absolutely, I hear that.
Who uses it?
I hear that expression.
When you get together for your barbershop quartet rehearsals, is that when you hear it down by the Cracker Barrel?
I read it in books that took place in the 1800s.
But no one's saying that now. No one.
In your cups.
No one.
I just figured I was
time traveler.
I just figured I was the only one that didn't know, so I just shut up.
No, Bean is the last man alive who still knows.
Okay. Look, I obviously heard it somewhere. I mean, it's an expression
you
that
heard it from your original time before you got into the machine. Back when you were the apothecary getting your unguents, someone probably said it.
All right, so we all learned a new phrase today, you guys.
But no one's going to use it.
Stop Lisa, doing what you're doing.
Yes, you've heard in your cups, right, Lisa?
Of course.
Yeah.
But not recently, and it's definitely an anachronistic term.
Okay.
Look up anachronistic.
Okay. Out of time.
Thank you.
Out of place. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning on the Showbiz Beat. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtle Power, indeed. $65 million made it number one. Guardians of the Galaxy had another strong weekend with $41 million, making it number two. Into the Storm was third. The 100-Foot Journey, new Helen Mirren film in its debut.
Don't laugh, Kevin.
Don't laugh. You were there, Kevin.
I saw it. That movie blows.
$11 million was fourth.
It could it be it's just not for you?
It is,
is
not.
It possible?
It,
it's just
it was,
why does it have to be terrible?
It
it's
was
just not for you.
All right.
Take
Did it easy,
like
everybody.
It?
My wife liked it.
Were you in your cups when you saw it?
I was in my cups.
Well, that
it was it was well done, just way not for me. I just could not care less about anything having to do with restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch bar rescues. I don't need to watch chefs show up and scream at you because your broccoli is too soft. I don't need any of that
Kevin
nonsense.
Refuses to believe there's two different kinds of wine glasses. So you know how he feels about cuisine. Doesn't make any difference what glass you put the wine in.
You don't
it's so
need,
stupid.
You don't even need a glass. Just drink out of the bottle.
Just give him a straw.
Right.
Give him a crazy straw. That's all Kevin.
That's all they offer on the party bus.
Lucy was fifth. Step Up All In was sixth. Hercules, Get On Up, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Planes, Fire, and Rescue were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Kings of Leon drummer Nathan Followill injured in a tour bus accident on Saturday. Someone jumped in front of their tour bus when they were leaving the venue going back to their hotel in Boston after a concert. Driver had to slam on the brakes. That sent Nathan flying. He ended up breaking a couple ribs, which is not good news for the band or its tour schedule, because when you've got broken ribs, it's hard to play the drums, to say the least. They were supposed to have a show last night in Sarasota Springs, New York. They had to cancel that, or postpone it at least, and they were supposed to play tomorrow night on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, but that is up in the air as well, so we'll keep you posted.
I don't know if you've had the broken ribs before, but that...
I've never had a broken one. I've had bruised ribs, and bruised ribs damn near kill me. I can't imagine what it's like when you actually fracture
when it starts to feel better... You want to go back to drumming or whatever, and it could just stick around forever because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just get sore, and then it just is ridiculous.
You're able to shoot them up like they do football players. Yeah. And just send them back out there.
I like it. How'd you break your ribs, Kevin? I don't think I know that story.
I was full of cups.
No.
What's the word?
In your cups.
In your cups.
You weren't full of cups.
I was playing football in high school.
That's a way better story than me breaking my ribs getting out of bed.
I passed out when I got out of bed. I was so exhausted from sleeping that I passed out and hit a radiator.
It takes a lot of energy to get up out of bed in the morning, Ralph, you know.
I think you may have been in your cups. That's how it happened.
In your cups.
Maybe had some absinthe down there in the apothecary. Maybe a case of the vapors.
We have 1800s bean. That's what we have to work with all the time.
How dare you?
You're waxing your handlebar mustache.
Tomorrow we need to talk to 1800s bean.
Riding on your giant bicycle with the one big wheel in the front and the small wheel in the back. And when you're in your cups, you broke your ribs.
In your cups.
When you were wearing your long sleep swimming costume and your boater hat down by the boardwalk, engaging in some bare knuckles fisticuffs.
You're such a weirdo.
I'm just saying.
Right, but you're just weird. You're just so weird.
Oh, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wrestling legend Hulk Hogan is 61. Actress Viola Davis turns 49. Joe Rogan, our good friend, comedian and UFC commentator, is 47. Anna Gunn's 46 years old. And Chris Hemsworth, Thor himself, turns 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I thought this was interesting, you guys.
Uh-oh.
Usually spells
we're in trouble.
Disaster for the rest
How
of us.
How dare you?
It's pancake day or something. That's the next line of that conversation usually.
I thought this was interesting. What is your policy, if you have one, on guilty pleasure music? And by that I mean music that you enjoy but are embarrassed about or would generally not admit to other people that you like.
What do you mean? What's the policy?
What's your policy? Like, I don't believe in guilty pleasure. I think if you like it, you like it, and there's no shame in anything that you find entertaining.
Yeah, you're wrong, first of all. But, I mean, there are a lot of songs that are embarrassing that if you like them, you go, I'm not going to lead with that one. If I'm trying to convince somebody I'm cool.
Yeah, I won't deny liking a song.
Right.
But at the same time, there's some I'd rather not volunteer.
Right. You're not proud of. Okay. Well, that was the idea behind what Spotify recently did is they took a look, because people put playlists together on Spotify, the music streaming service. They put playlists together for their own enjoyment. And there were over 120,000 playlists up on Spotify that were titled Guilty Pleasures. So these are playlists that people made for themselves of what they considered their guilty pleasure songs.
Did you say 120,000 different ones?
Different playlists.
Wow.
Yes.
So Spotify used some calculations, and now we present for you the top 10 most streamed tracks the world wants to keep hush hush, is what Spotify says. So these are songs that people like, but they don't necessarily admit to. And I have a real problem with some of them on this list being considered guilty pleasures.
Of course, because like horrible music. And
like number 10, for instance, there's nothing wrong with liking this song. That's considered a guilty pleasure on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, I can see that.
Really?
Especially for guys.
But that's hardly niche or sort of like weird music. I mean, it was a massive smash top 10 hit.
Maybe that's part of the problem. It's so poppy, but was so huge.
So popular, yeah.
But if everybody likes it, how can it be a guilty pleasure for you if everyone is into it?
Right. That's how I feel, too. Number 9, a number one song that still made a lot of people's guilty pleasure list. Can't touch this. Look in my eyes, man. You can't touch this. Yo, let me bust the funky lyrics. Touch this. What do you think of that?
I'm surprised.
Can see why that's a guilty pleasure.
I love that song, and it's not a guilty pleasure for me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed
by
that.
I think for a lot of people who say I'm an MC Hammer fan, they'd like,
well, that's
really?
Different. I mean, I'm not going with Too Legit to Quit, but I'm just saying. That song I like.
I think it's hard to admit this day and age that you're still down with MC Hammer.
And I think part of it is that it's just the time period in which it came out, and you start thinking about the big pants and everything like that. It hasn't aged well, perhaps, that look. All right, number 8. I think there's going to be some discrepancy in a lot of people's minds that this is on a guilty pleasure playlist. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Come on.
I can see that one.
No, there's no shame in the game on loving that song.
No, I can see that one being embarrassing.
How about you, Ralph?
I can see why people would not want to admit that, but it's a great mother effing song.
Part of the problem was the whole Rickroll thing for a long time.
Yeah. Right, it became sort of a gag, a punchline. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, it goes beyond whatever that song was at the original time that it came out. All right, here's what I think we all agree deserves to be on the list. Who let the dogs out?
No.
No.
No. Who let the dogs out? No. No. Who let the dogs out? No.
Wait, you're saying no to liking it or no to guilty pleasure?
No, it shouldn't even be a guilty pleasure. How can anyone like that song for any reason?
Yeah, that's where I'm with you on that.
I refuse to accept someone said, you know what? I secretly love that song, so I'm going to put it on this list. You can't love that song. It blows.
It is weird to think that there must be tens of thousands of people who intentionally put the Baja Man Who Let the Dogs Out on their Spotify playlist.
I'm with Ralph. This is
intentionally.
BS.
Intentionally.
Who can say I need to listen to that in secret, but I need to listen to it? I got to have a little bit of that song in my life. Nobody likes that song.
I agree. I totally agree. All right, number 6. Here's a classic K-Rock song that made the guilty pleasures list.
Yeah,
that's not guilty pleasure to me. I think that's just a song you like, I think.
Was it Dead or Alive? Is that the
Dead or Alive? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I sort of like that song, and I'm not embarrassed by
shame.
That.
There's no shame in that
one,
really.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. A lot of shame in this one. This one is right up there with Who Let the Dogs Out. Should I have been forgotten? I do. I've been buried long now. Where
did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. I didn't even know that song.
That was a thing.
I didn't even know that song.
That is awesome.
What was that, around 10 years ago? Maybe something like that. It was it might even have been a number one, a huge, huge hit.
That is definitely a guilty pleasure, though. I love it, but I would not admit to that.
That's by Rednecks. That's called Cotton Eye Joe. All right, number 4 on the list. I don't understand. To your point about Call Me Maybe, Ralph, how can you put a song on a guilty pleasure list that is the best-selling song in the history of iTunes?
I don't know how that's a guilty pleasure.
There was a time, perhaps, where Journey kind of went out of favor, but didn't that song, because of Glee and because of The Sopranos, didn't that song just come back big and just become like America's national anthem?
Yeah, it took over the world again.
It's a monster.
For a second, monster song. Yeah. Talking about the guilty pleasure list, according to Spotify, these are the highlights of 120,000 plus playlists that they have on their service that are labeled guilty pleasures. These are songs that people like, but they don't admit to liking, like the one at number 3.
Come on! The Mother loving Knack.
I love it now. I loved it then. I'll never stop loving My Sharona. I got no problem with that one.
The Knack are now and forever.
I'm not sure that's
Kevin,
true.
You seem that to disagree.
I don't hate. I just don't love.
And that one came back, obviously, okay, in a huge way in the 90s because the Reality Bites, too, kind of got a
little bit. That was a monster hit several times.
Yeah. Right.
Hardly like some weird little niche or strange guilty
pleasure. It's not Who Let the Dogs Out.
No, exactly. Right. Or freaking Macarena or something like that.
Right.
I'm happy to report the Macarena did not make this list of anybody's guilty pleasures, so I'm happy about that. Number two is another number one song. I know a lot of people have affection for it. It has not aged well for me.
Wake me up before you go, go. Leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go, go. Don't want to miss it when you hit that.
You'd be fine to let that one go.
That is a weak ass song.
No, I'm with Ralph in that I think no one could possibly like that song and then consider it a guilty pleasure because they wouldn't like it in the first place.
No,
it's just not possible.
Even in '82, whenever the hell it came out, I can't see why anyone would like that. That song,
Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo.
Oh,
in 2014, people have it on their playlist. That's a song that they intentionally.
Well,
scheduled.
They need to just stop doing that.
All right, we're up to number one. I don't know if you've given any thought as we've been counting down from number 10, but any ideas of what the number one guilty pleasure song of all time is? I'll give you a couple of hints. It is a novelty-ish song, and it is a one-hit wonder.
Don't tell me it's Friday, Friday, Friday.
And it is a one-hit wonder.
Don't tell me it's
that. One-hit wonder and novelty-like
Macarena?
Song.
Well, as we explained, the Macarena is not on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We had that conversation earlier in this segment, Lisa.
I missed that.
But it's in that ballpark.
Who let the dogs out? It's in the ballpark.
It's in the ballpark of the Macarena. It's about as
Mambo
annoying
number
as
five.
Yes!
What?
Oh.
Yes! Are you kidding?
Hit it, Steve!
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see.
Don't know that I'm comfortable living in a world where Kevin is coming up with the answers to questions in a game.
For bad songs, though.
But it is for something bad.
It is for something bad.
Kevin knows that world.
Mambo number five. Lou Bega, number one guilty pleasure according to Spotify.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's a Monday morning. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was expected to be number one, and it fulfilled that promise. $65 million made it number one. Guardians of the Galaxy also had a very strong weekend. $41.5 million. It was good enough to make it number two. Then Into the Storm, the the special effects-laden Storm Chasers film made $18 million in its debut. 100-Foot Journey, story of two competing restaurants. Was fourth at the box office with $11 million. Lucy was fifth. Step Up, All In. In its debut, only made $6.6 million. Good enough for sixth. Hercules, Get On Up, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and Planes, Fire, and Rescue were the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles being number one. Paramount Pictures should decide to do a sequel, and they've already scheduled it for June the 3rd, 2016. So, make sure you get your calendars out and circle June 3rd, the year 2016, for the second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. This was sad news. Under the radar, David Duchovny and Tia Leone have officially divorced after 17 years of being together.
Didn't you just have a story like 2-3 weeks ago where they had gotten back together?
And now it was like a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Was it that long?
2 years ago, maybe.
It's all the same to me.
A week ago or a year ago. You know, that's how Kevin rolls.
Well, we've been confused as the public because we hear stories about them spending a lot of time together and vacationing together because of the kids.
Yeah,
so
they do.
It appears like they're getting along great.
They do have a 15-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son together. So they have been raising them as parents, but they're no longer married. The judge signed off on the couple's documents last June, so they've been officially divorced since June. But by all accounts, they are getting along great. They worked out all the money stuff and everything apparently between the two of them, so it looks like they really are in a good place together.
Good.
Are co-parenting effectively, which is always nice to see. Michael Jackson was not
clean.
That's an understatement.
If you believe this story out of the New York Post, three maids who worked at his Neverland Ranch over the years claimed that Michael would never allow anyone to clean his room or change his sheets. One maid said she went in there and the room was so filthy there were bugs everywhere. The bedroom apparently was also filled with old chicken. Which wouldn't be ideal if it had been new, fresh chicken, by the way. No. Junk food wrappers, empty whiskey bottles everywhere. I had no idea Michael was going to knock back the Jack Daniels, but God bless
him. I thought as a Jehovah's Witness, you're not allowed to drink
Jesus
alcohol.
Juice.
Oh, sorry.
That was wine. They said whiskey bottles. I'm surprised. Also, Mike had a lot of animals around Neverland Ranch, and the maids said Mike would track animal dung in to the house all over his shoes, and it would end up all over the floors and the carpets. Ugh. If any of the maids made a comment, they said Michael would take some of the poop and ball it up and throw it at them, making poop snowballs.
There was doo-doo feces thrown all over the walls, the floor, the ceiling, and it stunk so bad.
Come on, Anderson. This isn't funny. This is funny.
Sorry. He was throwing these poop snowballs,
sad,
he called
is all
them.
This is. This is mental illness, as far as I'm concerned.
He was throwing poop balls. Come on. Anderson, suck it up, man. You're a professional.
As an employee, though, you go, okay, I need the job.
But he's throwing poop at me.
He's throwing poo balls.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line?
It's a good question.
Sad week. So many things happened, a lot of deaths.
Oh.
And, of course, Michael Jackson, world phenomenon.
Phenomenon indeed, but he didn't just die, Rodney.
He was a phenomenon.
Right.
He wasn't a phenomena. He was a phenomenon.
That's true.
A world phenomena. Kings of Leon drummer Nathan Followill injured in a tour bus accident on Saturday. Band filled us in via their Facebook page that they were heading back to a hotel after a gig in Boston. Someone jumped in front of the bus. The driver had to slam on the brakes. That's when Nathan went flying, broke a few ribs. It's going to wreak havoc on their tour schedule. They had to cancel or postpone a show last night in Sarasota Springs, New York. They're supposed to play on the Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show tomorrow night, but all of this is up in the air until Nathan is able to play again with those banged up ribs. So you'll have to wait and see what happens. Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were all born on today, August the 11th. Wrestling legend Hulk Hogan, 61 years old.
We haven't talked to Hulk at all today. For him. We haven't talked to Hulk at all today.
He's not here. He'll be coming in on Friday, though.
Hulkster, how are you going to celebrate your birthday? I'm just wondering.
Hulk will be here Friday, actually. He's coming in. We actually got Mr. Hogan stopping by.
You do one goddamn voice. It's not too much to ask that when we throw it to you, you can do a little improv with the voice.
It's too much to ask.
No, it isn't too much to ask. One damn voice. Once a year, you got to do it. Just do it.
I'm going to celebrate my birthday and eat some fruit.
That was a half-assed.
That was pretty
half-assed. That was a half-hearted, just get off my back BS attempt.
I'm not happy with your effort.
You have a bad work ethic. You son of a bitch. Actress Viola Davis is 49 years old today. Kevin, how did Viola Davis celebrate her birthday today?
I don't. Do I do a
do Viola? It! Do the voice!
Do a Viola Davis.
Joe Rogan, our friend, is 47 years old.
Lisa, how did Joe Rogan celebrate his birthday today?
No idea.
See, none of us are cooperating.
You're such weak-ass people.
Well, we're intimidated by how good you are at voices,
Stop
I think, Ralph.
Anna Gunn's 46, and actor Chris Hemsworth is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Mick Foley in the studio, comedian. We have Ben Glebe in the studio. Talking about his new game show called Idiotest Game Show. And the only thing that I care about is...
Idiot Test.
What's that?
Idiot Test.
What did I say?
Idiotest. You failed.
I said Idiotest?
Idiotest, yes.
How about that? And the only thing that I care about is tomorrow is 1800s Bean. I can't
wait. Oh, you got the time machine working? We're going to go back and talk to 1800s Bean?
I think it's a great idea.
Just
can't
wait.
I hope he's not in his cups.